Please turn in your Bibles to the book of Jude. Now, we're not going to get through this outline today. When I first started, I had planned on getting through the outline. But then as the week progressed and as I continued to pray about where we were headed, I felt led to just slow down. And I'll give you a little explanation on why that's necessary and why we've helped in that. I want to just share a couple of thoughts with you in way of introduction and just share some things with you. I hope you'll just share with me for a few minutes as we prepare to get into this. Anytime you're preaching, and I think most of you probably are mature enough to realize this, but you don't prepare as a preacher just a portion of Scripture to get up here and pound everybody with. You really spend time in it during the week. I had a seminary professor that wrote a book on this. He said, you preach from the overflow. What he meant by that is you should be engrossed in the text all week, and you should be dealing with conviction and confession and repentance in your own life before you get up to share it. And I have found that to be true in this study on Jude. I find myself each week just thinking about and reminiscing. And I've been at this a long time. I've been in full-time ministry for over 60 years. That's a long time. Started when I was about 3 years old. But I find myself, as I read through this each week, and just how pointed it is, and I use this to just emphasize to you, where I'm going with this is just to try to emphasize to you afresh and anew just how important the Word of God is. But I find myself just thinking through people that I've met through the years in ministry, people who have fallen by the wayside, people who left the ministry. And I find myself sometimes asking me the question, were they apostate or were they just backslidden? And sometimes I'm sure I can clarify that. Sometimes I'm not so sure. But I try, when I'm not so sure, to pass judgment. That's not my place. But I've encountered a number of different situations over the years in different churches and seen a lot of situations where people have walked away from the ministry, walked away from service to God. Along with that, I've been reminded these last couple of weeks, I've been involved with a number of young people that I've met over the years. This is one of the blessings of pastoring a church for a long time. My previous pastor was 38 years. We had a Christian school. We went up through eighth grade. It was called Colonial Academy. And about a week and a half ago, we got an invitation from a young man that started our Christian school in kindergarten. And then I had a grandson that started the Christian school in kindergarten. They became good friends. Now, the young man that contacted me, he wanted Barb and I to come to his graduation celebration. He had graduated. And my daughter's put up pictures over the year. His name is Kyle Fauntroy. And Kyle is an African-American young man, just a good kid. And then my grandson, Jackson, they started kindergarten together. And my daughter took a picture of them first day of kindergarten, and they're standing there with their arm around one another as what's kindergarten? 5 years old? Five-year-old kids. And then over the years, they've posted that picture occasionally. And, of course, Kyle was raised by a single mom. She kept him in a Christian school. Even when he finished our school, he went on to finish in a Christian school. He's going to James Madison next year, studying finance. But we went a week ago yesterday, Barb and I attended, as well as my son-in-law and my daughter, and my grandsons, Jackson And they had all kinds of pictures of those boys growing up. It was just amazing to watch. Now, I know this is sort of personal, and I have a reason for sharing this. I'm hesitant sometimes in sharing personal illustrations. Some people very carnally sometimes, you know, misunderstand personal illustrations. They think you're bragging on yourself. And listen, I've been in ministry long enough to know that it's not about me. It's about God and the Holy Spirit. So I don't need to brag on myself. And even comments that sometimes you make, I understand that's because God is taking His word and the Holy Spirit is working through that. I'm just the water boy. I just carry the water. I just carry the word. That's my job. So when you hear people get a little carnal, a little gossipy, critical, you know, don't take that very seriously. I share this with you because in looking at the book of Jude, and then thinking about the overall, what Jude, in just that short book, is trying to teach us, it's just caused me to just really look back and reminisce about a number of situations. So I'm excited about kids who all of a sudden are 18 years old, and I met them, 13 years ago, when they started kindergarten, and they still have a place for God in their life. So it tells me something. Cal sent us a thank you card. We gave him a gift for his graduation. He said, "When I was a child, you guys have always showed love to me, and I'm truly grateful for that. Thank you guys for coming to my graduation party and for the gift as well. It was incredibly thoughtful, and I appreciate your kindness. I'm blessed to have you guys in my life. Love, Kyle." Now, I share that with you because you've experienced that same thing. This is personal to all of us. I mean, we have people that feel that way, right? We've done things for them, and I've just had the blessing over the years. And there's a little picture that my daughter sometimes puts up as a picture of Kyle and another little boy. They used to have twin day at the academy, and my daughter said on twin day, they dressed as triplets. These three boys dressed alike, and they all had their arms around one another. You can do that when you're 6 years old. Today, they're 18. They don't do that, but they're still very close. Jackson went to Kyle's graduation party. Kyle came to his graduation party. As a matter of fact, he spent the night with him Friday night and stayed over for the party yesterday, as well as one of his other friends, Matthew, who grew up with him in the Christian school also. Those boys, one of them's going in the Marine Corps. One's going to James Madison. One's going to community college. It's just, but to see and reflect on the fact that you know, something, someone, and I know Kyle's mom was there yesterday, and I gave her a big hug, and I told her, you know, just again, and I've repeated this often to her, what a blessing you've been in keeping Kyle focused on God. And I was reflecting on that in relationship to the book of Jude. You know, we think about this idea of apostasy, people who were not true possessors of Christianity in the first place. They were just professors, but they didn't truly possess the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, I was thinking about these young men who still have a place in their heart for Jesus and who still have a desire to serve Jesus at 18 years old. And I reflect back as 6 years old how God's worked in their life and just, but a lot of that was due to parents who kept them engaged. And I was reflecting on this, and I was thinking about it yesterday, and you know, every teenager, every young person in our church ought to be in the book of Jude. And you parents and you grandparents, you ought to be teaching this stuff to your kids because they need this. Because you see apostates, if you're apostate, if you grew up thinking that because you were baptized, thinking that because you attended church, thinking because you attended Vacation Bible School, that you're going to heaven, you've missed the whole point of what Christianity and what salvation is all about. And it's really sad, and we've talked a lot in this study about false preachers and false teachers. And you see, they misinterpret the Word of God, and you think about all the people that are going to go to a Christless hell because of false teachers. Goodness, to have that blood on your hands at the judgment seat of Christ. And I was just thinking, and of course reflecting. And I hear people say some of the craziest things sometimes. And listen, I've been at this long enough to know. And I know sometimes I've heard people say, well, I don't know how you can spend a whole 30 or 40 minutes just in two or three verses. And I think, well, maybe you need to learn to study the Word of God so that you understand it. I mean, you can't just read through it without stopping and asking yourself, what does this mean? What does this mean to me? What is Jesus? What is the Holy Spirit saying to me? Gladys said to me after we did our Easter study, Gladys, I remember that, on her way out, she said, I loved that study on Luke 23 and 24. And you see, when somebody says that, that's not about me. I understand that. That's not on me. That's the Holy Spirit taking the Word of God and speaking to Gladys in a way that she grew and made application to the Word of God. My job is just to bring the Word to you and read it and study it and try to explain it and try to make application in the best way I can. So I don't need to pat myself on the back. I'm over that a long time ago. And if you interpret my application sometimes to mean that, you've completely missed, in your own carnal thinking, you've missed what we're trying to do here. I read something really neat a while back. Someone said, I didn't really like worship today. Person said, that's okay. We weren't worshiping you. But isn't that true? And, you know, we're here to worship God. My goal, I'm not trying to reflect on me. Listen, I'm a sinner saved by grace just like you. But you didn't call me to preach. God called me to preach. And He's the one to whom I answer. And I'm always open to answering questions and helping people to understand. But make sure you ask me the questions and don't just gossip about it and try to get a hearing from someone else, because that's not going to help the church and it's not going to help us grow as a church. But as I've studied Jude, boy, sometimes I've had to stop and just stand back and investigate my own life and just try to make sure I understand what God's talking about here. Now, let's put up, a few weeks ago when we started this, we put this up a couple times. I want you to look at the definition again of apostasy. Now, this is what apostasy is: a total desertion of or departure from one's faith, abandonment of one's religious faith. You have deserted God. And in the passage we're in, we've seen this over and over, and we see this in our passage today even, that they have neglected, they have refused to accept God as authority. See, that's one reason I try to stay in the text, because it's thus saith the Lord God. It's not thus saith Mickey Creed. I'm just passing it on. But think about that, a total desertion of, you see, You see, it's one thing to be very sentimental, to perhaps be emotional. And if you're truly saved, as one writer said, he said, it involves your emotions, your will, and your intellect to be truly saved. Now, you might get emotional. That's okay, because we're made up of emotions. And we're different, right? Sometimes we're ready to just really, you know, praise God. But sometimes you might, personality might be to do it quietly within your own heart. That's okay. But you feel emotional. I often say about baptism, you don't get baptized to have an emotional experience, but you're going to be emotional because you've obeyed God, right? So it involves your emotions, but it also involves your will, because you've looked at the scriptures, and he said, for by grace are you saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so your salvation has come because God has already, through his Son, Jesus Christ, Jesus has paid the price, and he's paid the cost, and he's paid for everything for you. But you have to have the will to say, I believe in what Jesus has done for me. Right? Everybody with me? So it involves your emotions, but also your will. It's not just an emotional experience. You have to be willing to say, well, you know, I believe what God's saying in his word, and I trust him as my personal Savior, and I ask him to forgive me of my sins, I repent of my sins, and by faith. But it also involves your intellect. But it can't be just intellect. See, some people intellectually say, well, you know, I read the Bible, and I think it's true, and I don't know if I accept all of it, but I've heard people say before, well, I know what you're saying, and I agree with you. I believe in God, I believe in the Bible, but I'm just not ready, you know. So intellectually, you have to be willing to say, I might not understand all of it, but I do know what it means to believe, to trust in by faith, to ask Jesus to do what I can't do for myself, what he's already done. So your emotions, your will, your intellect, all of those work together when you become a believer. Does that make sense? And see, a lot of people just intellectually, or maybe sentimentally, or maybe even emotional. If you've ever watched some of these emotional services and emotional preachers, people running around, falling out, flake, you know, just crazy stuff. And if you think that's spiritual, you don't find that any place in the scriptures. And so in my reflection, I just kept coming back to the fact that it's important to know that you know Jesus Christ. It's important that you know, and that you help your children to know. And see, if your children and your grandchildren don't understand that if you have sincerely received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're not going to desert or depart from the faith, because Christ is in your life. You're not going to abandon him. He will not abandon you. However, you will have a desire to study the Word. Now, I'm going to read a portion of Scripture to you before we get to Jude. And I want you just to listen to this carefully. If you want to turn to it, fine. It's in Hebrews chapter 5. I want you to listen to this carefully. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Hebrews 5:11. The writer said here in Hebrews 5:11, we have a great deal to say about this, and it is difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. There are a lot of lazy Christians. And if you're not willing to come to church, sit down, open your Bible, and listen for 30 or 40 minutes to what God has for us, you're a lazy Christian. You're not a growing Christian. you become too lazy to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. My youngest granddaughter is 8 weeks. I think she's 9 weeks tomorrow. She's not eating solid food yet. But boy, she likes that milk. Why? Because she's a baby. Do you see what he's saying to us? Are you still a baby Christian? You say, well, I'm not called to be a teacher. Sure you are. Being a teacher doesn't mean you stand up in front of a class or you're leading a class or you stand up in a pulpit. Being a teacher just means that you're living the Christian life because somebody's watching you. Your congregation might just be your kids, might be your grandkids, might be your loved ones. But we all teach through our life, right? I guarantee you somebody's watching you. Are you living on solid food yet? Are you still lazy and immature and not strong enough in the faith that you're willing to sit down for a few minutes and listen and to try to understand what God has for you? Verse 13, not everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature. Can you handle solid food? Are you a growing believer? Are you challenged when you have to think? I mean, we're mature people. We've gone through school. Goodness. We know how to think. But it's amazing sometimes how we can just, this is the word of God. This is God's love letter to you and me. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. You say, well, I've tried to teach my kids or my grandkids, I've tried to show people the right way, but you know, sometimes they don't know the difference between good and evil because they never grew in the Word of God. Doesn't mean they're unsaved. Doesn't mean they're apostate. I'm not saying that. I told you early on when we started this study, I'm not trying to talk you into salvation. I'm not trying to talk you out of it. That's the Holy Spirit's work. I'm just trying to warn us that there are people who profess to be a Christian who are not. Are you? Are you truly saved this morning? Can you think back on that decision, and did you truly repent of your sins and trust Jesus as your personal Savior? Or did you just do what somebody told you? Now, in this particular portion of Scripture, we've titled this Characteristics of a Present-Day Apostate. And our central idea is all authority comes from God. And I simply ask you, are you living under God's authority? Now, let's put the chart up again that we put a few weeks ago. And I want to just ask you to think through this with me again. Now, this is biblical. You find this all through the Bible. God always had a remnant of people who loved him, who wanted to live for him. When you had the children of Israel, as we illustrated a couple weeks ago, walking through the wilderness for 40 years, and the whole generation died, why did that whole generation die? Because they neglected to believe in God. They didn't trust in God. But those who did trust in God, who were they? Caleb. Who else? Joshua. Okay, why were they the only two? Because they were sound. They believed God. Were they perfect men? No. But they were saved men. So you start off sound, but you begin to tolerate certain things. we're seeing this all over our nation today, all over our world. We're seeing this in the society we're familiar with, where born-again believers are people who are apostate. They begin to tolerate sin. You can't tolerate sin and expect to become a mature Christian. I know what the Bible says, but I just believe that I can't, you know, you start tolerating stuff. You start tolerating sinful. And he's illustrated this through the illustrations. He keeps taking us back to the history of the Old Testament, which fully illustrates all of this. And so we tolerate certain things. We tolerate criticism. We tolerate gossip. We tolerate a lack of mature Bible study, or a lack of it. And we start tolerating sin in our life, just dabbling here and a little bit there. And the next thing you know, you're in compromise. And when you start to compromise, boy, that's when Satan is pulling you in and leading you to apostasy. But there's always a group that pulls out and starts out sound. Don't get frustrated because we have a little church. Let's get frustrated if we're not remaining sound to the Word of God. That's what we ought to get frustrated over. Because if we're sound on God's Word and God's truth, God will bring the increase. He's told us that. You'll be fruitful, but it's up to God through the Holy Spirit to apply that. But our goal is just to stay sound to the Word of God. Now, you'll notice in the passage today, Jude returns to the apostates within the church. And he again goes back to historical references, which he's already applied. And again, he started in verse 5, addressing those who rejected the authority of God. See, when you reject the authority of God, you're going to reject other authorities. See, we're a nation that lives under certain authorities. We live under a constitution. If you have a poor attitude toward the law enforcement, you're rejecting God's authority, because Romans 13 tells us that that's God's authority over the nation. You might not agree with the political leaders, whether they be local, statewide, or national. You might not agree with them, but the Bible says you're to pray for them and to be respectful. That's Bible. But you show me a young person that rejects authority at home, I'll show you a young person that rejects the authority of God. Because if you understand that God is authoritative in your life, then you're going to apply that authority in every level of life. When you walk into a classroom, that teacher is your authority. You might say, well, I don't like that teacher. I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they dress. I don't like the way they talk. That's not the point. You're under their authority. And it makes sense, because that teacher can give you an A or that teacher can give you an F. So it makes sense that you would understand that I'm going to be a good citizen in this class. I'm going to be a good citizen. So do you see what he's teaching us there? And we see in the verses leading up to this, the importance of this. Now, look as we begin in verse 8. This is our newest section. And he says, beginning in Jude, verse 8, in the same way, these people, relying on their dreams, defile their flesh. What's the next word? Reject authority. Does it say that in your Bibles? Relying on their dreams, rejecting, relying on their dreams, defile their flesh, reject authority, and slander glorious ones. Yet when Michael the archangel was disputing with the devil in an argument about Moses' body, he did not dare utter a slanderous condemnation against him, against the devil, but he said, "The Lord will rebuke you." Do you see what he's saying there? It's not my place to rebuke you or to judge you. That's God's word. The Lord rebuke you. But he goes on to say, but these people blaspheme anything they do not understand. What they do understand by instinct, like irrational animals, by these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain. You know the way Cain went. I don't want to live under your authority, God. I know what you said about worship, but I'm going to worship you the way I choose to. God said, okay, you're not one of mine. They have plunged into Balaam's error for profit and have perished in Korah's rebellion. Now, the reason I decided just to slow down in this, because there's so much there, and I thought to myself, at least I felt the Holy Spirit nudging me that, you know, we need to understand everything he's given us there and everything he's talking about. So we see these characteristics of present-day apostates. Apostates are all around us. There might be some in the church. You say, well, I don't know any apostates. I don't either, but I don't know people's hearts. I know what people say, but I don't know what's in their heart. It's what's in your heart that's important. And so we see here these characteristics. And so he's warning us of false teachers. And I warn you of false teachers in the church. I warn you of people who will be critical of, or who will throw misunderstanding on a portion of Scripture or what the Scripture says. If you ever say to yourself, well, I know what that says, but, you know, I just don't believe, or I believe, you know, boy, that's dangerous ground. I know what you say, preacher, but I just don't understand with you. Well, let's talk about it. Let's look at what the Word of God. I'm about what the Word of God says. I mean, I'm in the same battle you're in. We're all sinners saved by grace. And we are imperfect people. Goodness, we are imperfect people. Man, the imperfection God has saved me from. Do you realize your imperfections, your weaknesses, your struggles? God has said, I remember those no more, those sins are under the blood. Oh, praise God for your grace and mercy. We're all imperfect, but boy, we have a perfect Jesus, do we not? And he went to that cross and paid the price for our sin. Now let's look at some of these areas of apostasy that we think about. And we've broken this down into two sections, and when our time's up, we'll just quit here and we'll pick up there next week. I'll be back next week. I hope you will too. We'll all meet again. Amen. So we see, first of all, in verses 8 through 10, he gives us the conduct of apostate. Now, all authority, we said, comes from God. I stand before you not authoritatively. My only authority is because God called me to preach. And I never apologize for that. And as long as I preach in the pulpit, because I have to stand, the Scriptures tell me as a preacher of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that I will stand before Jesus one day and I will answer for how I handled the Word of God. Peter describes, was it 2 Peter chapter 3, He says the pastor is the shepherd. You are to feed the flock of God. That's my orders. That's my priorities. That's what he said to me. I want you to feed the flock of God. And if you're not going to do that, get out of the pulpit. You're to feed the flock. And you're going to answer for how you do it. I take that seriously. But I make no apology. If any time you misunderstand, misconstrue, or misunderstand, and please talk to me. Let's talk about the Word of God. Because I'm capable of not explaining it in the way that it should be explained, but I don't want to be misunderstood. The important thing to me is that we arrive at the bottom line is, thus saith the Word of God. Because the Holy Spirit gave us all the Word from Genesis to Revelation, 40 different authors over a period of 1,500 to 1,600 years, and you have perfect continuity from Genesis to Revelation. That's the internal evidence of the validity of Scripture, the Word of God. And I don't know about you, but I have great joy in studying to preach. I have great joy in sharing to you what I've studied and what God has given us. Because I never cease to get into a portion of Scripture that God doesn't deal with me some way, whether it be conviction, whether it be something I need to work on, something I need to change, something I need to pay attention to, or something I need to... That's the Holy Spirit working in our lives. So we see, first of all, let's put up that first verse, Amos 4:11. Look what Amos said in chapter 4, verse 11. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. We saw that last week. He overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Why? Because of their sin. Now, all of these are because of sin. Different kinds of sin in these last three illustrations we saw last week, but sin, right? And you were like a burning stick attached from a fire, yet you did not return to me. This is the Lord's declaration. You have sin in your life? Be careful how you answer that. Sure we do. Don't you love 1 John 1:9? John said, if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That ought to be one of your favorite verses. You ought every night when you lay your head on the pillow say, Lord, I've sinned today. Please remind me of what I need to confess so my heart will be cleansed before you. So we see, first of all, they defile the flesh. Now look at that in verse 8. In the same way, these people relying on their dreams. Now, let me just cover this quickly, and we'll quit for today. We've noted the conduct of these apostates, the past about whom Jude reminded his readers. He reminded us of the Israelites in the wilderness. He reminded us different sins of the past. And so he continues to remind us of present-day apostates so that his readers might recognize these false teachers for what they really are. Now, the reason this is so important to you and me is so that we will recognize apostates. So Jude says that these apostates are dreamers who defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of glories. Physically, they are immoral. Intellectually, they are arrogant. And spiritually, they are blasphemers, one writer said. You see, the nature of apostasy has not changed since he wrote this. We still have apostasy the same day, and you still have the same conduct of apostates. You see, that word dreamers is an interesting word. The word Jude uses here in the original language means a confused state of the soul or an abnormal imagination. Do you have an abnormal imagination? You imagine things. producing dreams in which the ego is controlled and held captive by ungodly sensual confusion. The word carries the idea of arbitrary fancies from a perverted mind which is deaf to reality and truth. See, sometimes we dream, we go off into a dream world. Have you ever said to somebody, I don't know where you got that, but you're just dreaming, buddy. Okay, that you mean by that they've gone into a fanciful world. And so Jude is reminding us of that. Dreams can be so vivid. You ever had dreams? You ever had weird dreams? And you wake up and you think, good night, where'd that come from? You ever had a dream and boy, you're glad you woke up. Oh, goodness. I had a crazy dream the other day. Oh, it was weird. I dream we're in church and it was time to start. And sometimes I get occupied and I forget to look up at that. Matter of fact, Tom had to remind me today, hey, you only got 4 minutes. Let's get hooked up here. So my dream was I couldn't find my Bible and church was starting. So they were on the song service and I was running around looking for my Bible and I couldn't find it. It was 10 minutes to 12. And I was running up the halls and running in the office and I couldn't find my Bible. And all of a sudden I woke up and I thought, oh goodness. And I remembered that out on my countertop where I normally study, there were two Bibles sitting there. Two of my study Bibles were sitting there. And I thought, praise God. That weird. If you had dreams like that, goodness. Oh, and man, I was so glad I woke up. That's what he's talking about here. In the same way, these people relying on their dreams. Can't rely on your dreams. That's why I keep pounding on this theme. It's the Word of God. Right? Faith cometh by what? What? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Simple, to the point, and deep. Right? How much deeper can you get? Faith cometh by hearing. That's why you need to be in Bible study. That's why you need to listen to the sermons. That's why you need to study the Word of God. Because faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. And listen, you know as well as I do, you and I get in trouble when we start making decisions that are not based on the Word of God. I'm talking about important decisions that require godly wisdom and godly word. Do you remember Jim Jones back in 1978? Anybody here wasn't even born in 78? 1978, November 1978. Remember Jim Jones? Jim Jones was a preacher, and he preached the Bible. He was involved with politicians. They were pushing his ministry, and he had a diversified ministry. And what did he do to those people? Took them to Ghana, fed them Kool-Aid that was poisoned, and those people knew it was poisoned. You say, boy, they must have been some dumb people. They were people that were in seminary. They were professional people. And this guy was such an apostate. Hundreds and hundreds of people gave their life. I can remember seeing pictures of that. As they came in, dead bodies, women, children, men. And you go back and look at some of the things that he tried to teach in the Word of God. He separated husband from wife. And see, he started doing things that were, you need to bring your children to me and let me teach them. See, those were unbiblical things. And if anybody had any biblical sense, there was, that's not the Word of God. And they would have got out of there. And some people got out of there. But he was an apostate. He was an unbeliever. And he led those people to their death and possibly to a hellfire and damnation. That's why the Word of God is so important to us. I hope you love the Word of God. I hope you love to study the Word of God and to learn. You say, well, preacher, I don't always understand it. Well, just keep reading until you do understand it. The Holy Spirit will let you understand what He wants you to understand at that time. But don't quit, because that's where your wisdom will come from. And you and I can spend our lifetime studying this book. We'll never exhaust it. Right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the many blessings we enjoy because of you. And we thank you, Lord, that your Word is so rich and it's true. You reminded us in the great high priestly prayer in John 17. You said, be sanctified by this. Thy word is truth. Let this set you apart. God's word is the truth. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth. No man cometh to the Father but through me. And I pray that you'll help us to overcome our sinful ways. Help us to overcome our weaknesses. Help us to overcome our immaturity. Help us to overcome our sometimes we just become carnal. We say and do those things we know that are not right, not spiritual, not godly. And sometimes we just get lazy in our Bible study. And we give in to our laziness. We give in to Satan's tricks. Lord, we're in a battle today. We're in a battle against Satan. And that's why he said you need the whole armor, the Word of God. You need all of it. And you need the Word of God, because that is the sword that you need in your life. Oh, there's so much for us to learn, so much for us to respond to. And I pray that you'll help all of us to know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And that we'll know truly that heaven's our destination. We ask it in Jesus' name. I wonder if there's someone here and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure I know Jesus as my Savior, and I would like to talk to you about it just to make sure I have that settled. I want to make sure I'm ready to go to heaven. Would you please pray for me? Would you slip your hand up and let me pray for you? No one's looking at me, and I'm not going to ask you to do anything. I wonder if there's someone who'd say, Pastor, I'm a Christian, but I want to be a mature Christian. I want to be a growing Christian. I just want to be moving forward in my faith. I wonder if you'd slip your hand up and just say, please pray for me. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you. Yes. Pastor, please pray for me. I want to be growing. I want to overcome this lazy spirit that sometimes sets in and keeps me from maturing the way I should. Please pray for me. Would you slip your hand up? Yes, thank you, thank you. Father, we thank you for the Word of God now. We thank you for the blessings of church today. We pause to pray for our dear sister Frida. God, even as we lift her name up before the throne of grace, we pray that you'll bring peace to her life and her heart. Be with her during these days. Help us to be an encouragement to her. We ask this now in Jesus' name.